السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء اكرام، elders and dear brothers in Islam. Alhamdulillah, the grace and the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every mu'min and believer is indeed infinite, and it is something which the human mind cannot necessarily comprehend. Each favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each boon and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that when a mu'min and a believer begins to delve into the ni'mat, or one ni'mat, one bounty, then he finds in that, enveloped within that bounty and the ni'mat, are many, many other countless ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the concept and the ibadat and the work of shukr, of gratitude, compulsory and obligatory upon us, because the reality is that no matter how much of gratitude we express to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if a person has to go into sajda for his entire life, that will not be sufficient to compensate for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Generally, when we speak about bounties and ni'mats and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our minds tend to race to those things which Allah has blessed us as far as this world is concerned. We tend to think about the material possessions and the wealth and the tangible material things that Allah has blessed us. Indeed, these are ni'mats. They are bounties, and we should make excessive shukr for them. But beyond the material realm and beyond the temporary realm of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, far greater and far more superior and significant are the spiritual bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed a mu'min with. And among these spiritual bounties and benefits that Allah has given each and every mu'min, no believer is deprived of this very great weapon, if we can call it, or very great asset, or very great ability. And that is the asset and the commodity of dua, of supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the ability and the opportunity to petition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is perhaps one of the foremost ni'mats and bounties that Allah has given each and every one of us. And sometimes, due to something being given to us so easily, we do not realize the effect of it. We do not realize the significance of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, in this ayat which we have recited, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says that tell my servants, tell my bondsmen, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, that when any one of my servants, my bondsmen, calls out to me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then the first thing he must understand is that I am extremely close. Generally, to get in touch with a high profile person, a minister, a king, a person who is in a high position in society, person sometimes has to go through many protocols, he has to go through so many people sometimes, PAs, etc. And then too, he does not reach that person, or that person is not available to meet him or to answer his call. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Malikul Muluk, the king of all kings, the ruler of all rulers, and the owner of everything that everyone has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to me and you that know well that I am very close. And not am I only close. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'ani. One is to be close and accessible, and one is to respond to the plead and the call of that person when that person makes a request. So Allah is telling each and every one of us that when you call out to me, when you ask me for anything, when you plead to me, then know very well that I answer that call. That call of yours, that request of yours, that plea of yours, that petition of yours is most definitely answered. So, just from this verse of the Quran Kareem, we can understand the depth of dua and the great bounty and ability and opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept with each and every one of us. Sometimes we find that dua in our life has been relegated to when a situation has become so dire and hopeless in our minds that now there is no other way out from it, or there is no way to recover from it, then we say, now let us make dua, because the situation is helpless, it is hopeless, so let us turn to dua. But rather the reality of dua is that it should be our first point of call. Dua should be our first cause of action. In any difficulty, in any problem, in any issue, in any matter, the first point of call for a mu'min should be to raise his hands in dua, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. And not only it being the first point of call, but it should also be the last point of reference in a person's problems, in his difficulty, in his request, in his urgency. The last point of call also should be dua. So dua is, we start off with dua, and we complete our matters with dua. This is the position that dua has in the life of a mu'min. My dear friends, when we're looking at this ayat, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this open line. And we find that dua is such that it is in reality a yardstick. In the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. A very simple and popular hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that dua is the essence of ibadat of a person. What is meant by essence? What is meant by dua is the core of a person's worship? We find that in this ibadat and in this act and this worship of dua, everything is encapsulated. A person, when he is making dua, then his forgiveness, his tawbah and his repentance, a person gets the opportunity to reflect, to regret, to express his remorse. A person gets an opportunity to express his ajizi, his helplessness, his insignificance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man's weakness is brought to the fore in his mind. That sometimes a person thinks that everything that I do and everything that is happening is of my own doing and my own strength and my own intellect. But when a person turns to dua, which is the essence of ibadat, then a person realizes that nothing is from his side. His effort, his intellect, his ability, his expertise is zero in front of the power, the decision, and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ad-du'a wa mukhul ibadah, this mukhul ibadah is such that it is a very, very complete form of worship. A very comprehensive form of worship. That it brings everything to the fore for a person. When a person requires something in instances of happiness, in instances of grief, in instances of need, and in a condition of affluence also, a person refers to du'a. Because this dua brings everything out from a person, from within. A person gets an opportunity to reflect. He gets an opportunity to regret. He gets an opportunity to contemplate. And therefore, when a person begins to make dua with the urgency, with the fervency that dua requires, then we find that all his ibadat, all his forms of worship, everything becomes consolidated. It begins to reap the benefits that ibadat and worship has in it, or has kept in it. And in that way, a person begins to gain the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dua is a gauge. It is a barometer for a person's inner spiritual self. Every person can gauge himself through his dua. If a person wants to know, where am I on the ladder in my connection and my link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person should look at the condition of dua in his life. And upon reflection of the condition, the state, the quality, the urgency of dua in his life, a person will begin to understand and he will begin to somehow place a marker on his inner spiritual condition. And therefore it's important when we look at our life, sometimes we find that dua has been relegated to a dry ritual. The urgency of dua, the fervency that dua should be made with, sometimes it is a dua, the dua that is after salah, that is, we limit dua to that. Or dua on an occasion of a demise or a mayyit, or dua that is made at a program, or dua that is made in congregation, and a few other duas that we read and we recite, and that is the state and the condition of dua in our life. Rather, when we look at dua in reality, dua is something which was an intrinsic part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every moment, every step, every way, Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had a dua, and he was expressing his want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was expressing his humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great saint, an alim by the name of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Amritsari rahmatullah alayhi, one of our elders, one of our akabir ulama, a disciple and a khalifa of Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi. He says that when a person asks you for dua, when a person asks you for dua, then regard that person as doing you a great favor. Regard that person as doing you a great favor. Because in essence, what that person is doing is, this person is reminding you and he's conveying a warning to you that your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak. When this person is asking you for dua, he's actually passing a message to you that your link and your ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak. So do something about it. Turn to dua and strengthen your bond and your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the level of recognition, my dear friends. When somebody asks us for dua, then what crosses our mind? That alhamdulillah, you know, my duas are so accepted, and I am such a decorated person, that this person is asking me for dua, and he, my dua will work for him. That is our mindset. But look at the mindset of those, my dear friends, who were immersed in dua, who dua became such an integral part of their life, morning and evening. Whenever we would see them, they would be engaged in some form of dua and petitioning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the other. So he says, when somebody is asking you for dua, look at it in this way, that this person is asking you to correct and to strengthen your bond and your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore dua is mukhul ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah, because dua is such an act of worship that it has this great ability and potential to penetrate the reams of ma'rifat and closeness and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when we look at the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then we find, my dear friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us as an ummah. What du'as Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has made, these du'as are in actual fact a great spiritual treasure. Every du'a of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great spiritual treasure. And therefore every person should try his utmost to develop the capacity for dua. Sometimes it happens, it is mentioned in a hadith also, a person goes on making dua and he does not see any outward response, or he does not see any benefit in his eyes, and then he leaves out dua. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you make dua, do not become impatient. And it was asked of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what is meant by being impatient. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that when a person makes dua and he continues making dua and he does not see any outward benefit or any manifestation of his dua coming true, then he leaves out making dua. The mufassirin and the commentators of the Quran Sharif, they explain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, ujibu da'wata da, that I definitely respond to the call of the caller. When a person is petitioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's guarantee is there. Quran Sharif is saying that Allah responds to this person. There can be no doubt in the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There can be no doubt in this person's dua being accepted. Masihul Ummat Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahab Khan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, ke har mu'min ki har dua qubool hoti hai. ہر مؤمن کی ہر دعا قبول ہوتی ہے. That every believer's, every dua is accepted. Now this is a very weighty statement. It is a very important statement. Because what it means is that no plea, no request, no dua of a person is rejected. However, the understanding of the answering of that call and the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that petition is important. That what is meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding to a person's call. So the mufassirin, the commentators of the Quran Sharif, they explain that when a person makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are four ways. There are four ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that person's dua. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that person by giving him the very thing that the person asked for. Person asked for a Mercedes Benz, Allah gave it to him. Person asked for a beautiful home, Allah gave him that what he asked for. Asked for a beautiful wife, Allah gave him that. Or any other thing that a person asked for, and he saw the outward manifestation of that, that is one level of acceptance of dua. Hakim ul-Ummat Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says something very significant here. He says that this level of acceptance is the lowest level of acceptance of dua. This is the lowest level of acceptance of dua, or rather the first level of acceptance of dua. What we think sometimes perhaps of our dua not being answered, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'ad Allah, not listening to us. This is the first level and the lowest level of acceptance of dua. The second level that the commentators explain is that a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. He petitions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He places all his requests on the table. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant that person that very thing that he asked for. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that person something even better. That is the second level of acceptance of dua. That something better than you had asked for. Now imagine you go to a person, wealthy man, and ask him for some favor. This person, instead of giving you half of that thing or giving you the very thing, the person gives you something double that or something far more better. What a surprise a person will get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, no shortage in his treasure. So he gives this person better, and what is meant by better again, this is important, that sometimes a person may say that I asked for a Mercedes, now I'm going to get a Bugatti, or I'm going to get a Porsche. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reciprocation of better is that a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something which we understand as valuable and good and important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, will bless that person with the tawfiq of 2 rakat salah. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of giving him that worldly thing, which is really very little in value in terms of this world, in terms of mortality, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person tawfiq to say one subhanallah. Now we do not understand the value of this in the dunya, but that one subhanallah is far superior than whatever that person has asked for of the world from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or a person is in a dispute with a person. This person is on the right end of the dispute. Allah gives him the tawfiq and the inspiration to forsake that dispute, to end that dispute by not continuing, by not taking it forward, by not claiming his right. Allah says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, that that person will be blessed with a palace in the central suburbs of Jannah. Person is asking for a home here, he's asking for a property in the world. Allah has made arrangement for him for a very central home in the central part of Jannah. So this is the second level of acceptance. The third level of acceptance is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wards off a calamity. Person is asking for some worldly need. Allah wards off the calamity which would have come and turned his life upside down. It would have caused so much of grief and harm and hurt in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wards off that big calamity in lieu of that dua. And the fourth medium of acceptance or level of acceptance, which is the highest level of acceptance of dua, is that a person has asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stores that dua in the akhirat, in the hereafter for that person. And it is mentioned in the hadith, my dear friends, that on the day of Qiyamah, that people will be looking unto people who will be walking on mountains of musk and mountains of pearls, a very, very envious type of scenario and condition. And it is described in the hadith, very, very beautiful. People will be looking up to them. Who are these people? Are they the ulama, the scholars? Are they the martyrs, the shuhada? Who are these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with such a lofty ni'mat and such a lofty jannat? It will be said to these people that these are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not answer their du'as in this world. Allah gave them the benefit of the dua in the akhirat. This is their dua that they are seeing. So from this we can understand the status of dua, the benefit of dua, and the different stages of acceptance of dua. So no mu'min's dua is rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about these priceless gems that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left with us. When we look at the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time he woke up, there is a dua for waking up, there's a dua for entering the toilet, there's a dua for looking into the mirror, there's a dua for coming out of the toilet, there's a dua for every occasion. When from the morning when a person wakes up right till the evening till he retires to bed, there are du'as. And these du'as are the spiritual gifts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really, my dear friends, when we ponder and reflect over one du'a of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we want to see miracles. We want to hear about what's happening. We want to see something miraculous happening. These are the real miracles if you want to see. A person who attaches himself to the du'a and sees the manifestation of these du'as in his life, my dear friends, that person has achieved a miracle. These du'as are an actual reflection of the understanding and the ma'rifat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so perfect. His ma'rifat and his recognition was of such a level that it is manifested in his du'as. And a person who latches himself onto the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear friends, he begins to drink from this fountain of ma'rifat and the du'as, the benefit of the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. An incident has been mentioned regarding the father of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi Khandalwi. Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi is very well known to everyone, the Amir and the founder of the Tablighi Jamaat, and the work of Dawud and Tablighi is spread throughout the four corners of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all the works of deen progress and acceptance. The father of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi passed away. The janaza was so massive that they had to join bamboo, long bamboo sticks onto the janaza so that many people could escort the janaza towards the burial place. And a buzurg, a pious person in this congregation, he gets a kashf and a vision that Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is waiting for Maulana Ilyas, Maulana Ismail sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and the crowd, the congestion is delaying the janaza. So he relates this to the facilitators and he says, let this janaza move quickly because it is causing anxiety to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is awaiting his friend. It's a lengthy incident, but thereafter when investigation was made, that on what account did Maulana receive this great status? It was mentioned that Maulana was very, very particular about the basic sunnah du'as. The du'as of eating, sleeping, our masnoon du'as, the morning, evening, etc. Hazrat Maulana was very, very particular about this, and he used to do it with punctuality, with pabandi, and with great zeal, and with great appreciation. And because of this, these were one of the factors that he had reached such a status that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for him upon his demise. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya sahab rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned a very interesting incident in Abbiti in his biography, and it's a very lengthy incident, but we will just concise it, that during the partition of India and Pakistan, the situation was very, very volatile. There was a lot of violence. And Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says that we were sort of in a siege in the markaz, in the masjid in Nizamuddin. We were sort of sieged in there. We could not leave the markaz. We could not leave the masjid. And months on end, the situation was so volatile that there were about 500 of us in the masjid. We could not leave the masjid because of the fear and because of the situation. However, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says that there was one person among us, and he mentions his name, Haji Ayaz. And he says, this man used to leave the masjid freely, used to go to the sabzi market, used to bring things for us, 15 people's food at a time, used to come and bring it, used to go back and bring, and he never seemed to have any anxiety or fear of the condition. So on one occasion, the people asked him that, by Ayaz, everybody is so afraid, we are so afraid of leaving this masjid, but you go out, you bring the things for everyone, and you're doing this so easily. So he told Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat, I got something with me, which you have taught us. So Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi asked him, what is it that I have given you? What is it that I have taught you? He says, the dua that you have taught me, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. O Allah, we place you upon their necks. We place you as a shield between these people, our enemies, our opposition, wa na'udhu bika min shururihim, and we ask you for protection from their shar and from their evil. So this is just an example of one dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person who read it with conviction, with sincerity, with total reliance, what benefit it brought. That no harm in the world could frighten him or could harm him or could affect him in any way. And he mentions in this incident also, he used to go into the raksha in the vehicle, and on this side used to be two Sikhs sitting, and on this side there used to be a Hindu sitting. And they used to even taunt him and tell him that, you know what, are you not afraid of us? We're going to kill you. He says, no, I've got something with me which you do not have. I've got something with me which you do not have. And this is the reality of the matter, my dear friends. The Muslim Ummah, we've got this weapon, we've got something with us which our opposition and our enemy does not have. But the weapon, if it is kept in a cupboard and it is not used, then unfortunately it's not going to be effective. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, make this dua a reality in our life. And importantly, we should try have a starting point. One starting point for a person to create this affinity and link with dua would be to refer to a good dua book, a good dua kitab. Two good reference kitabs for dua. One is Al-Hizbul A'zam, written, compiled by Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali. And another very popular book of dua for reference is Al-Munajat Al-Maqbool. The actual title of this book is Qurubatin Indallahi wa Salawati Rasul, which was compiled by Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, about 200 duas. When a person will begin to now read these du'as, they have been divided into manzils, into seven portions, and he familiarizes himself with these du'as and begins to learn the meaning and understand these du'as, then we will find, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will imbue in a person the importance of du'a, the reality of du'a, the link with du'a, and with that a person's spirituality will be enhanced, a person will find more meaning and more fulfillment in what he does, and a lot of benefit will be derived from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a person's du'a. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.